Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Now, today I am recording this podcast from the middle of bloody nowhere. We are on the way to Uluru, which, if in case you don't know what that is, it is the big red rock right in the middle of Australia. And apparently, it's meant to be part of the planet's heart chakra. So I'm super pumped to feel how that's going to feel, which leads me directly into the incredible human I have got on the podcast today, who is an expert in an area that I'm fascinated by, but I feel like I don't know that much outside of the human design definition of the aura. So Susanna Merrick is here today with me, and she is an aura expert. Hey, Susanna, how are you?
Hey, Emma, so good to be here. And that sounds where you're at. Sounds so amazing and magical. All I hear is honking cars outside in Brooklyn. So it sounds a little more ideal there.
I love it. I love it. So tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Susanna. I am an aura reader, intuitive stylist, and the founder of a company called AuraWare, which is all about bringing out your internal expression and styling it on the external. So I really believe that there can be this beautiful practice within the way that you get dressed and how you show up for yourself and how you can really kind of put your truest expression out in the world. I've been reading auras and energy since I was a little girl, and I just always say that I just got the guts to finally come out of the closet a few years ago. This wasn't a shock to many of my friends and family, but obviously to lots of people that knew me outside of that circle. It was interesting and different, and I really learned to embrace it. And now I really have devoted myself to understanding the aura and also understanding other elements that feed into that, like the chakras, and understanding how color psychology plays such a big part into it. And we're going to talk, I can't wait to unfold that with you today. But, and also really why are these colors showing up and what are the messages that they're delivering? I think the big misconception about aura sometimes is that you have one color and that's your color and that's your personality diagnosis. And it's simply not true. Just as you are an emotional, interesting, dynamic human going through this experience, your aura, your energy shifts and it changes. how that all fully works. Well, I always say I won't fully know until I'm dead, but I have a lot of information I can give you today.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. I'm literally scribbling notes about the things I want to ask. It's color psychology. What? We can totally do a whole freaking episode on that. So I think we'll touch on that really quickly. But I loved also what you said about your aura colors changing all the time, that it's this moving feast. I think that sometimes we fall into that, like we do with, personality profiling or human design profiling. We fall into the trap of being attached to who we think we are, which is bullshit. That's just something the mind creates. So,
yeah.
But let's start at the beginning. As a kid, you just started seeing colors around people. How did that sort of turn up?
Yeah, it's interesting. So when I was a kid, what I recognize now as an adult and as someone who has devoted my life to this practice is that I was very clairsentient. So I was obviously going through some sort of like synesthesia experience because it wouldn't always show up. And so that's why I was almost afraid to talk about it more because I wouldn't see it all the time. And it kind of makes you feel a little bit like you're losing your mind. Even when you're a child, you're like, what's happening? But some of the more predominant and specific moments that I remember as a child were the feelings I have. And now I recognize when my body has feelings, it takes a moment for my brain to kind of catch up or figure out what's going on. And I've learned to kind of lean in and trust that. Yeah. And as I start to lean in and trust that and start to dip into people's auric fields, and now it's more of an exchange, a spiritual exchange. I mean, I'm very sacred about that space. It then starts to reveal itself in a more radical and kind of pronounced way. Whereas when I was a kid, it was more so like I would see something or I'd see a color, and I know things. I remember clinging to my mother about certain people and it scared me a lot. But one of the things that I always share, which is, just makes me laugh to this day, is I remember telling my dad. And my dad was a minister and a pastor, but like very radical, like a youth minister in the 80s, and 70s and 80s, like thought he was super cool. I mean, he is cool, but far out, super cool dude. And I remember telling him when I was a kid, like, I was like, Dad, I sometimes see this and experience this. And he was like, oh yeah, that's called an aura. Jesus has an aura. That's normal. Like it was just like,
oh my God, that's so good. Especially in that day and age, right? That's freaking awesome to have a parent that supports that.
Yeah. And he was so interested because he said, well, look at these pictures. You see how every picture of Jesus always has this. And he kind of helped me connect to that and understand what an aura was. So I went through the rest of, my middle school, like elementary and middle school days. I knew what an aura was more so, I think, than most kids. To that aspect because I saw it, but it just didn't really occur to me until I got older, especially in college, where I started kind of having more expansive experiences, if one says so, that I would just kind of go to parties and be like, yeah, I'll read your aura. And then people would be like, that was actually really helpful. Can we do that again? And so there was like this kind of unfolding of the gifts. But only until a couple of years ago did I really start to see how important it was to kind of take ownership. And then what came from that is only what I can explain as like miraculous, because what I've gotten to do is so cool.
Yeah. And I love as you were talking about how it's now transformed into that really spiritual connection, like my entire body covered in goosebumps, to have that. Really, like the word I always use, and I'm working on my intuition and all of that sort of thing at the moment. And the biggest slap in the face for me is like, oh, wow, you mean that thing that's been there all the time? I didn't even, And yeah. I think that it's that conscious awareness of your gift that I think, in my experience and working with people that I see, that's when our energetic gifts really come to life, because we have this conscious awareness that is actually our truth and this is really happening. And you really do know that or see that, that gives it that ability to really expand into its potential. So tell me, because I am fascinated about seeing auras, like this is something I would love to do. And we actually, we went to a place, and I think it was a lot when we actually spoke, briefly before, I think it was that day that we were going to a place here in Australia called Crystal Castle. And Crystal Castle is the biggest, it has like the biggest geodes and crystals on the planet.
Like I've heard of this place.
It's amazing. And we went there that we've been a couple of times and we went there and had our aura photos taken. And it was just fascinating because I, as I think I said to you before, I've got a client of mine who's a vet who sees auras, but again, she doesn't tell anyone. And she'd always said, oh, you know, I see yellow and I see orange around you a lot. Mm-hmm. So I kind of thought that's what I was going to find. And I got blues and white. And
I was going to say so much blue and so much, I was going to say almost turquoisey blues and whites, like probably even some purples in there, I would say, because that's what it feels like around you now.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm getting massive goosebumps because that's exactly what it looks like. Like I should have had the photo here to show you.
Yeah.
So when you're feeling or seeing those colors, and this is the other thing I'm really getting my head around and actually kind of discovering the right language for it. It is that synesthesia, however you say it.
Yeah. Synesthesia. I know. I always trip up.
Thank you. And it's like you say you're seeing it, but you're feeling it, or you say you're feeling it and you're seeing it. And so tell me, what's the experience? Like, what's my aura's experience?
Okay. Well, first of all, I have so much to say about your aura, and I know we're being time sensitive, so I'm going to dive in. So first, I really have kind of made it my life study to fully kind of expand on what is happening, because I do believe we have a physical aura and we have a spiritual aura, but there's actually 12 layers of the aura, and each layer is just another invitation to go deeper, right? And they say like the last layer being your connection to God. Which, if you meet anybody and you know anybody that they are there and they're in that place, like more power to them. But it is something to strive for, if you will. So each of these layers can really help us understand a bit more about ourselves. It's kind of in the same sense of like human design. You can see this blueprint and then be able to not just be like, oh, this is my personality diagnosis, but this is how I operate. This is how I move around in the world. This is how each thing kind of mingles. So when it comes to your senses crossing and experiencing auras, listen, I always say there's kind of some mixed messaging, and I want to clear this up. There's some mixed messaging around having intuitive gifts. And so one of the big messages is that we all have them and you can do it too. And that's just kind of how we get left with it sometimes. And then the other one being that that's really rare. And how does that happen? And the reality is, yes, we do all have access to them, but are you willing to go through the fire and do the work that it takes to get there to access them? That's the real question. And so, but you know, there's suffering is a choice, and going through difficult experience and showing up for yourself. And that's how you can start to read other people's auras in a really radical way. Now, there's also the physical element, which is your senses. So if you think about the clairs, right? We know the clairs are all connected to five senses: clairtangent, which is touch; clairsentience. I'm sure your gals have already heard this, but I'll go through it quickly.
No, please do. I love it.
Clairsentience, which is the feeling or the knowing, like your body knowing before kind of your brain. Clairaudience, hearing; cognancy, that kind of whether your brain's analyzing information in a nanosecond or you're deeply channeling wisdom. We don't fully know, right? And then the last one being clairvoyance, vision. All of these are connected to a physical realm, physical senses. I have a theory that our senses are deeply, as women, we run off of, you know, a 28-day cycle of energy. Men run off a 24-hour cycle of energy. Men seem to be very cocky and confident when they have intuitive moments and they say them and they're impulsive. And my joke is that we always have plenty of time to talk ourselves out of it because we're going through a longer cycle. But this, knowing this, we can start to understand when our perception is heightened, right? Yeah. And so this is when synesthesia happens. Right. So maybe it's you, depending on if you're in your luteal phase, your ovulation, or even if you have menopause, there's still quite a big, large understanding of how these levels of hormones in our bodies can start to kind of heighten our perception and understanding. And I've never been pregnant, Emma, and I know you have kids, and I've heard many times by pregnant women, it's like, whoa, I feel so like I could download like in a heartbeat. And there's something there for sure. So there is an element of exercising that muscle and connecting to the aura and the energy, right? So I have clients that I have one that like she hits textures and then she like tunes into the textures and then she can like explain the aura. It's bizarre, but she could do it and it's beautiful. And the messages she channels are spot on. I have clients who hear auras, you know, just clairaudiently hear them. For me, it's like I feel it in my body and I have to actively, impulsively go to that place. Okay, what experience have I had that I feel that? And then that's how color is revealed. And then it comes through. It really does come through visually sometimes. Sometimes it's clairaudiently or just a knowing. But again, that's where you access it. So yeah. There's some sort of correlation between the spiritual aura and the physical and how they intertwine.
Yeah. And I love what you said about the myth busting. You know, I know for me, I've banged my head against a wall thinking that, you know, what do you mean? We all, and this is actually my journey. I feel like on so many levels, but what do you mean we all have it? Okay. Well, if we all have it, how do I access it? And it really has been the other way around. Instead of trying to rote learn how to do something, it's been about deconditioning all the things I think I should be doing and just be more me and really just become, as I said, just become conscious of those things within me already. Yeah. So I love that, far out. So tell me a little bit about my aura then. Like what is it? Like now it's blue now. Ooh. I love this.
Yeah, it's so funny. So I always say when I read your energy, there's obviously like there's an important exchange and a vulnerability there. And I'm just having kind of this peak of your energy from talking and from when we met and then when you describe the photo. So that photo actually, that when you put your hands on those electric magnetic plates, it actually measures the frequency that's in your body, right? So the higher the frequency, right? That's going to be like your yellows, your orange, your reds. The lower the frequency, and so sometimes this can be backwards too, but just for the sake of this energetic kind of exchange, it goes from one to the other. The lower the frequency, that is going to be your blues, your indigos, your violets, and as you move up the scale. But what's interesting is that there is some kind of radical phenomenon that happens within aura photography where sometimes, and I'm wondering if this is what happened to yours, where you'll get that combination of the blue and the violets, and then you'll have almost like this kind of wash over of white on the outside. Mm-hmm. So we can't actually explain that from a scientific standpoint. This has happened to my aura once before. I had one that was like this, but it's been every color and energy. They believe energy flows up the chakras, right over the left ear and out. And it's, so it is like almost a cyclone. And when you see the photo, sometimes it'll be more dense around these areas and sometimes it will be the whole photo. But that tells me a couple things, that you're really in line with service right now within yourself, like serving, you find a really healthy balance with that. So you're able to actually give more than you need to take. And then it tells me also with the violet that there is very much big vision. There's some things coming in, and vision specifically around this white purity. So I think maybe more family, more of your kind of like where you're going, what's kind of coming next. But seeing that kind of combination, there is like this really beautiful ease and security that comes with that energy and trust. But that is something that takes time to earn and to move through. So to see that's huge. It often, that's actually a combination of colors I'll see with really healthy couples if they are in the same photo.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. I just got goosebumps again. And it was so interesting to see, because my two sons and my husband had similar colors. Those three were similar, and then I was really different, and I had a lot of green in mine as well. And it was balanced, so it was everything, that the coming in and the going out was it was equal on both sides. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about, like, okay, so let's say blue and a green and this white, these are important colors for me right now. So how specifically can, now that I know that, how can I use that to, you know, whether it's heal, whether it's grow and learn, you know, like I'm a learning junkie, like how do we use the knowledge once we've got it?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, it's not something that can be, like, you can learn and you can devote yourself to it and learn it and connect to it. And I always say I will be a forever student of learning it. I think it is really helpful to get your aura photographed or to meet with someone to really start to kind of get the balls turning, if you will, or the wheels turning for you to kind of dive deeper with that. But each of these, I mean, blue around you now can mean something very different around you in a different season. It could also tell me that you feel disconnected and that you're feeling like you're not, you've give too much and that you're at capacity, or that you're not having a healthier relationship, depending on how I feel that or connect to that in my body is how I kind of receive that message. So the color is a vehicle to bring the information, right? But there's some really powerful things we know about color psychology that can help us understand, and the same information for the chakras. So I would say, if you really want to kind of devote yourself to like learning about aura, or just kind of finding, using aura to heal or to connect, you can use my practices with the AuraWare method.
Which will be in the show notes.
Yes. And I'm about to launch a course, which I think by the time this comes out, you guys will all have access to, which is exciting.
Amazing.
But I have very specific practices on how you can really start to use neuroplasticity and neuroscience and rituals to really start to explore your relationship with the aura and energy that you want to be aligned with. However, you can also use the chakras and the steps, like the seven layers of aura, to kind of go through, you know, the astral aura and kind of understanding what that means for you and your soul and your purpose right now. Or you can go through the spiritual levels of the aura. They call it the I'm going to say it wrong. See, we're in the same boat here today. cathartic template, which is like the cloak of protection we put around ourselves, which is basically what we consider to be the protectress. Like, getting past that layer is understanding like a lot of the traumas and the things that, like, why do you keep this layer so close to you sometimes, or how are you protecting yourself and moments of being vulnerable or expressing yourself. So you can, there's lots of different ways to kind of go about it. But personally, I just think color is, you know, I just say I didn't reinvent the wheel. Like, color has been used medicinally for hundreds of thousands of years. I just want you to be really intentional with it. So whether color psychology is about the idea of color being energetic and we actually having an effect of other people's auras and that energy, or it's Isaac Newton's theory where it's reflective and it's absorbing, and we don't fully know. So I always say, you don't need to know. All you need to do is you just need to tune into what that color is doing for you right then. Use specific language that you're going to heal around that color. So if you're someone who is just not taking risk in your life, or you're not wanting, you're having a hard time showing up for yourself or being brave or moving through grief, like, yellow is going to be this color that's really going to support you. But then we got to get really intentional. We got to meditate around it. We got to journal around it. We got to dig deeper with it. We got to examine our inner child with it, use it to play, and then wear it medicinally.
Yeah. You know? And that, I was going to ask that, like, so one of the things, like, I want to get back to wearing it medicinally, but one of the things that you said, like, I think it's so, like, the penny drop for me is, you know, this blue and the green. The other thing that the lady said about the green was growth. I mean, that sounds obvious, but
growth,
seriously.
And expansion and business and all the things. Yeah,
exactly. And that, for me, I was like trust is one of my highest values. And my journey with trust has been all about trying to project trust onto others. Like, other people need to be trustworthy. And of course, my journey's been like, oh, right, it's actually about trusting me. It's about trusting the universe and surrendering. So, you know, let's say I was at the beginning of my journey, how I would use this would be going into that place of going, okay, cool. So where am I in distrust? Where do I not trust? Where do I, you know, and it would be about starting to do whatever rituals. Like, I use a lot of different rituals. I use forgiveness. I use belief. I'm massive on belief systems. Yeah. And I would be using processes to do that, and then help myself with that, I would be using blue medicinally as well. Is that correct? Like, I would be wearing it. What would I be doing it? Would I have, funnily enough, would you believe, I have a blue crystal just sitting right here that I picked up on the same day.
Oh my goodness. I love it. That's well, and it's so interesting because to see blue around, you know, blue in psychology is trust. It's the color every bank uses. It's the color that they, you know, anytime you see any sort of medical thing, it's all like, oh yeah, you can trust that brand because it's got blue all over it kind of thing. It's such a, like, a very distinctive thing. But yeah, no. So for me, it's about, And the message I've kind of brought forth is for blue, it's about really exploring. And I always say there's each color kind of connects to our core wound and aura wear. Like we talk about each color being kind of that can end that core wound for blue being relationships. So really taking a really close look at all of your relationships and saying, where am I giving too much? Where am I taking too much? Like this can just start to open up conversations. But while you're doing that, you're literally writing in your blue notebook. You're wearing a blue shirt. Because what it ends up serving as, right, is not only this thing that can kind of energetically connect to you. It's serving as a reminder and a sign. And if you're being really strategic with it, so if you're meditating around it, I always tell my girls to go and guys, you guys, I always tell them to go and like pull two or three words that are like values or whatever you're really wanting to connect to. So if like trust is that one for you, you have an affirmation you're assigning to that word. And every time you see that color, you are saying that affirmation. But how we can take this on a deeper level is by ultimately figuring out the words, journaling around the different prompts, like whether that's around relationships or what you're calling in or what you're wanting to connect to or what you're wanting to heal. And then you're going to start meditating around the color. So you're visualizing, feeling it. So as you're moving out of beta into alpha theta state, you're more impressionable. Your consciousness is now going to start assigning a new relationship with that color or strengthening the relationship you already have. And so then it's all subconscious work after that. You're just seeing it. I'll literally, if I'm working with the color, it's like serves as a beautiful sign when I'm thinking about something. It's very much like synchronicity. But the work starts to integrate and you start to intertwine. And I always say this is like calling the color into your aura. And yeah. I've seen it time and time again. And this work got developed because when I started doing it, I was like, I can't tell people that I see like 10 colors. This is going to be really, like, really confusing.
Yeah.
Okay. So pink. Yeah. Pink. That is your color. Yes. That's you. Yes. And it just didn't feel authentic and great for me. So I started at that time, I was working with an aura photographer and I started to learn a lot about the photography at the same time, which really brought that understanding of what is a physical, what is a spiritual. Because I genuinely believed in my heart of hearts that I was like, maybe I just have more cones and receptors in my eyes. And I just see this weird radiation like coming off people's bodies. I'm just going to justify that. Like that's.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm such a realist.
Oh, I could imagine that I would have come up with something very similar to that.
Yeah. And so you just have to believe this. But then as the work started to unfold, I was like, oh, wait, but there's science behind the psychology that we can use here. And there is opportunities with these more spiritual tools that we can use here to really start to assign, connect, and shift. And, you know, at this point, I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and the scaling and the growth that I've got to experience from the work has been such a testament for how much it serves. It does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying, like, because my background before I came to human design, as I mentioned, I'm a behavioral coach. So I trained in NLP. It's called metadynamics, but it's the same thing. And, cool. You know, just hearing what you're talking about, like that repetition, you know, like just having that anchor of the color, like it is so incredibly powerful. And as you were talking and you're sitting there in that yellow top, I'm just having this like aha moment because, many years ago when I was 28, I was diagnosed with depression and panic disorder. And, you know, I was in the lowest possible place. I considered taking my own life for a long time. I had a defining moment where a leading specialist said, you know, you'll probably never heal this, but you'll learn to deal with it. You learn to live with it. And I was like, no. And that was really, it was an important moment in my life because it was the catalyst of, you know, why I do what I do today and who I've become. But sitting there and you're telling the story and you're all I'm doing is seeing these flashes of when I was in that place, I used to say, I hate the color yellow. I hate the color yellow. It was something that, and then one day I just had this knowing that I'm like far out. I've shifted my focus from depression to happiness. And there was just this knowing that I had to focus on yellow. And only now speaking to you have I become really aware of it. And then I would start to be like, fuck it. If I don't like yellow, too bad. I'm bringing yellow into my life. And of course, today, my favorite flower is the sunflower. I love the color yellow. There's yellow everywhere because it genuinely makes me feel better. And I'm a total sun bunny as well.
Yeah.
You know, if it's overcast, my mood changes. So it's what I realized just talking to you is this is so freaking intrinsic in what's happening all the time. We're just so unconscious to it.
Yeah, we have. It's so interesting. Aversions help us really. I was kind of the one things I really started to learn. And of course, when you're doing this kind of work and you have to kind of use all of your friends and family as case studies, it's like you run out of things in your own life to examine and you're like, who can I like? And I had this really great girlfriend, and I remember, you know, she ran several stores. She's a designer and jewelry designer. And she was also just such a huge expander for me over the years. And I actually was an intern of hers, and I did jewelry making with her like back in the early 2000s when she had a tiny little store. And I remember at that time, she just would always make this big fuss about orange. And I'd be like, oh, orange, oh. And at that time she was playing it so safe with work and everything else. And then anyway, she ended up like going on to like open a store in Soho in New York, and her brand just like exploded. And she opened another like three stores in the city in Greenpoint and Brooklyn. And at any rate, what's hilarious is that when I was with her about, this is like four years ago, everything at her store was orange. Like everything was like so much orange. She's like, I don't know. It just orange is just, and I had to have a good laugh because I was like, do you remember how much you used to just despise it? And she's like, no, I did it. No, I did
it. I love that.
But there's such like these correlations are, they exist, and they do really help point us to what needs to be examined.
Yeah.
What needs to be unpacked. And I honestly believe color is just as much as an invitation as a trigger.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I definitely, you know, like my favorite color is green. I love it. Yeah. But one of the biggest journeys of my life has been trusting the growth process, because, you know, when I go into growth, oh my God, I go, you know, totally into growth. So it's like the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, yeah, I just love that. I think it's green is fascinating.
Well, I will say green is, I always say, those who have a lot of green in their aura showing up, and I can start to, at this point, kind of start to sense what seems to be more tethered to, you know, family dynamic or belief systems that have kind of been untethered in there. But I always say green's like that perfect parking spot right in front of the building you need to go to. But you paid for the parking garage around the corner, and you're like, but I have to park in the parking garage around the corner. And then when you come back, you see the spot still open, and you're like, ugh, why didn't I take it? Because green is all about, it's all about being strategic and getting organized and being clear and growing and committing to this kind of level. But there are shadow sides to each color, which we cannot dive into today, but shadow side of green being actually lack of trust, because things need to be in a certain order, done a certain way sometimes. And so it's not as quite flowy, even though we find a lot of balance from that type of energy. So working with different colors, calling and shifting your aura and your energy in certain seasons can really bring you a more ease, a more flow to what you need in your healing state.
So tell me, how do you integrate the auric reading, work, healing, and the clothes? Like, how do you actually bring it all together?
Yeah. So adornment is interesting, because adornment I found was such an important part of what I went through a really massive season of grief a few years ago, and I lost my mother. And I had to really, the one thing that would all like, you know, and I if you've suffered from depression, I deeply empathize, because I've also been there. And I remember I had a really genuine, sweet, wonderful friend who ended up taking his life. And he said something to me, and I will never forget it. He was like, Susanna, if I can get up in the morning and go brush my teeth, it's gonna be an okay day. Like, if I can get enough to go in and to just to do that one simple act of self-care, like just get up, start the day. And so that really set me down this path when I was going through my process of grief and healing. I'm just like, you know what? I don't care if I look like shit. If I'm crying all day, I'm going to put on some clothes that make me feel good. Yeah. And it really did get me through that time. And I could tell when I didn't wear the right things in color. I started using color and didn't even know it, just to kind of like, and it wasn't for anyone else. It was for me. Yeah. But now fast forward, when I started to develop my business, you know, I'm very magenta in my energy, which is very outside the box, nonconformist, go against the grain, just got to be wacky at all times.
Love it.
I was like, how can I make this a thing? How can I do this and it be fun and creative? And the closet came to me because I was reading about Buddhist monks, and it was the one area that they didn't care about. Like, they care about everything. They care about meditation and eating and do. And I was like, wait, what? You get two robes and like, you don't care how you dress? Wait. Like, I don't buy that. And so that was where I really started to be like, you know what? No, there is such a system here. There is something to be explored. So each color of the aura essentially comes with an aesthetic. It's not just about, so yellow, the aesthetic of yellow is not necessarily just a color. The aesthetic of yellow is also honoring your inner child, being playful, wearing overalls, like putting tennis shoes on with your skirt and like just going out and honoring your inner kid, versus violet, which is like your visionary, you're showing up, you're putting on that vibe. That's asymmetrical pieces. That's pieces that make you feel like a million bucks, that you can just go and be that beacon and that force in your life by wearing certain types of clothes. So I have theories for each of these colors, which if you have a reading with me, you will learn all about.
Yeah. Oh my God, do it, people. I am far out. I gotta sign up.
Oh, I love it. So yeah. So that's kind of where that all came from. And that's all just kind of fun elements. And for me, healing, you know, it doesn't have to be this like venture into the jungle to like do ayahuasca. It can be a pleasurable and safe experience, yeah, if done right. Especially, yeah, if it is, and especially if you're supposed to be doing it for the rest of your life, which some of us, we are. We're going to be healing for the rest of our lives, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I think everyone is on a certain level. Yeah. I mean, we don't have to heal. We don't have to be focused on healing the deepest trauma for our entire life. We do get a reprieve from that. But if as long as we're alive, we're growing. I mean, we're either green and growing, yeah, or brown and rotting, right? And I don't want to rot. So yeah, I feel like we're all on that journey. And I always say, like, yeah, I even think that Dalai Lama's got work to do. You know, I think he's still doing, mm-hmm, his journaling and meditating every day with purpose to grow. Okay. Yeah. So he might be a lot higher on the consciousness scale than the rest of us, but that's okay. Yeah. We all have something to aspire to.
Yeah. Totally.
And I love what you said, like, you know, one of the big transitions in my life was moving out of corporate and into my own business.
Yeah.
And it was also a catalyst for a lot of my, you know, my shadow and a lot of the work I had to do. But that playfulness, you know, that yellow, that, I mean, even right now as we're talking, I have a cap on my head. I have, I'm the sort of person that will wear the most beautiful dresses and get really, you know, prettied up. But in the same breath, I will 100% wear trainers with skirts and,
oh, yeah,
hats,
oh, yeah,
and, you know, and you're so right. I suppose,
like, these are what I was wearing earlier. So, you know.
Yeah. Oh my God. I have those. I love
these
my Vans.
I'm showing her some checkered Vans. They're the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I love them. They're so good. I had to leave them at home because I literally have two pairs of shoes now. But anyway, so let's say someone is feeling stuck. All right. They're feeling, yeah, stuck and they're like, but how specifically can an aura reading help me? What can they expect? Like, 'cause I know a lot of people come to me, and it's much easier for them to come to me under the banner of human design than it is to come to me under the banner of a behavioral coach. 'Cause a behavioral coach, they're like, oh God, am I going to have to talk about my childhood? I'm like, well, yeah, momentarily. We just need to, understand a few things, and then we're going to head to the future, and heal some shit. But yeah. You know, so if people are feeling really stuck, like what can I expect?
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, I really aim to make that space really sacred. And one of the things I learned pretty early on that is such a gift of being a space holder and a coach and an intuitive is that the more you commit to the invitation to go deeper and to learn about yourself, the more space you make and the more space you have to give. And So really kind of that element of like clearing the karmic records and holding the space really sacred. Something that I find very deeply important in the work is that I ask your permission, first and foremost, to read you, to share with you. And so that's part of kind of that ceremony. And then as I dip in, you're dipping in, and it's very vulnerable. And it is, you know, I see and experience things about you that not everyone does, and, or maybe they do, or, you know, but I get to share them in this really beautiful way. Like I get to share them with you in this way that's like holding up the mirror. Like there are already things you already know, versus I think some of us, and one of the first questions I ask people when they have an aura reading and they fill out a form, I'm like, tell me about some of your past experiences with intuitives and readings. Let's just gauge that first and foremost, because I think there's a lot of misconception and a lot of people have been hurt by intuitives or readers, and they're like, or they just get a lot of opinions. And
yes,
I really aim to not do that. I really aim to be a clear vessel and a channel, and to really share what's most important and most important for you to know in that moment, to bring you freedom, to feel unstuck. And so it's just painting vision. It's just holding up a mirror and going, yeah, like this is why you're feeling this way. You're feeling this way for a specific reason. Like this is an energy that's on you. And it might not even belong to you sometimes.
And I love that exactly what you said, like even from whether it's human design or behavioral coaching, I'm the same, you know, it's this important thing to understand that you've picked this up or you've learnt this, you know, this is what a lot of people, and I think the same as what you're saying is a lot of people don't understand that this is something that you have learnt as a very small child from, you know, something that's happened, and you've created a meaning because of the way the adults respond to it. And being able to just be in that space, I love what you said, like holding space, giving them the freedom, because I strongly believe that we are here to do the work of empowering people. You know, I'm always talking about becoming your own guru. I don't think that, you know, we are moving out of the time of the guru and into a time where we have to learn to love and trust ourselves. It's really about being able to trust who we are, and that we have everything that we need. And I think that, like, what the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing, is really, as you say, holding up the mirror and holding space for people to actually be like, oh shit, I can really trust myself. I can really step into this and be able to be held while they do that. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And like, and that kind of work, that commitment is, it's so admirable because it is so rewarding, and you do. And I mean, I find it, and maybe you can relate to this, but so many of my clients come into me and then leave wanting to be space holders or wanting to do, because they're like, oh my gosh, this is I've been transformed. I've changed. I've moved this. I want to show somebody else how to do it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you don't necessarily have to come out of the closet if you don't want to about how you're doing it or sharing. You can integrate this into your everyday, or, you know, you can go down a new path with it, but it's allowing you to have freedom and choice and how you're going to show up in your life. And like that ultimately is the biggest gift you can give yourself.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the way to freedom and choice is, I'm afraid people through the fire. Like we have to do the work. We have to pull those things out of our shadow that we're afraid of, and really discover that there's nothing to be afraid of, and it's just a little kid that's really hurt, and we have to heal that part of ourselves. Yeah. So,
So
tell us, Susanna, how does people find you? Where are you on Instagram? What's your website? And tell us a little bit about your courses coming up.
Yes, absolutely. So you can find me at AuraWear NYC, AuraWear, like wearing like a shirt or a dress, NYC.com. And you can find me on Instagram at AuraWear NYC and TikTok at AuraWear NYC. There's a pattern here, right?
Love it.
And right now I am proud to be a fully booked coach, which is so exciting. I do have a wait list for coaching if that's something, if you feel called to, you know, if I sound like your person, I'd love to meet you and talk to you. I do aura readings though. These are one of my favorite things to do. I do a few a week and I have lots of bookings for those. So if you're interested, I have 60-minute options and 90-minute options. In those sessions, you get to learn about your aura, your essence, your energy. I then give you colors to help support you. Sometimes those are your aura colors, sometimes those are other colors, but you get to walk away with a little fun palette. And from that work, you get an understanding of how you can start to implement more aesthetic into your closet based on your aura and your energy. And then I'm going to be launching a course that's all about AuraWare 101, just learning all the basics to how you can use my tools specifically to support you in this season and time. Yeah. And I live in New York.
I love it.
So if you ever see me on the street, I'm probably wearing a lot of color and just wave at the crazy aura lady. I'll say hi.
Oh,
back.
My God. I love it. I love it. You need to get out. We've got a city here in Australia called Melbourne, and I grew up in Melbourne. And
yeah.
Melbourne is they're really, like, really stylish people, but
oh, yeah.
they just wear black. Like, the color, there's no.
Oh, I know.
So whenever
I have
we
a best
used to
girlfriend
go to
from
it,
there.
Yeah,
she only
just
wears
black.
Yeah, red lipstick, black head to toe, tattoos. That's it. Yeah,
exactly. And I used to wear like black all the time, and then I would have like bright pink shoes or bright green shoes or something like that.
Yeah.
So they probably need a bit of extra color down there in Melbourne.
Yeah.
But yeah. So thank you so much, Susanna, for joining. It's been lovely having you here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Emma. It's been such a fun chat.
Oh, so good. And I feel like we could go a lot deeper on some of these bigger questions. But anyway, if anyone wants to find Susanna, everything's in the show notes. It sounds freaking amazing. I want to sign up for an aura reading. It's been great having everyone. Thanks again, Susanna. Bye for now.
My pleasure. Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.